We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we now meditate upon a very precious section of the Word which you have given us for the salvation of our souls. And I pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do. Strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 42. A Pharisee named Gamaliel. We have in this section of Scripture an amazing surprise. And we see the power of the Holy Spirit at work. Number one, the high priest fires a shot. We're in the middle of a warfare here, remember. And the devil and all of his power are gathered together. And the chief priest is the chief honcho. And he fires the first shot. The high priest. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." So the first shot was a telling one. And all of the wicked ones were gathered together. The high priest, the Sadducees, council, all of them. "We told you not to preach in this name." Their hatred for Christ is so bad they won't even mention his name at this point. "And this is what we told you to do, and you're disobeying." So Peter and the apostle, number two, Peter and the apostles, return the fire. They're not scared of this. They don't back off. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Point number three, the enemy draws up a battle plan. Verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. So here's the picture. Peter and the rest of the apostles, numbering 12, were standing upon before all the VIPs that the enemy could muster, and now their lives are in danger. They heard, they were cut to the heart, and took counsel to slay them. And then comes an amazing surprise. All of a sudden, a Pharisee appears on stage. This is the first time we'd heard of them. The Sadducees were carrying forth the main part of the battle because the Sadducees didn't believe in angels and they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And the apostles were preaching both. And the Pharisees either didn't show up or they were watching with greedy eyes how the Pharisees or the Sadducees were getting wiped out. But now, a Pharisee named Gamaliel responds. And this is when the 12 disciples' lives are in danger. They took counsel to slay them. And now, here comes Gamaliel. There stood there up one of in the council. So he's a member of the council. A Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, well-educated, had in reputation among all the people. The people loved him. They honored him. And Gamaliel commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. We're going to get into that later on. But they took them away so they couldn't hear what Gamaliel was going to say. He was a VIP, remember, a doctor of the law, respected of all the people, and commanded that the apostles be put forth a little space. It happens once in a while during a trial that the jury is taken away and put in a private room because they're not supposed to hear what is being spoken of by the others. And then when the others have spoken, then the jury is brought back. Well, that's kind of like what this is. Gamaliel doesn't want the apostles to hear what he's going to say. So he commands to get rid of them, put them in a private room or whatever. And how do you think the apostles felt? To try to relate it to you and to me, how would we have felt if we're standing there with the apostles and the enemy is drawing up a plan to kill us, and now this VIP above even the rest of them, old Gamaliel, he said, I'm going to say something to you guys, but I don't want you, the apostles, and those with them to hear it. So get them out of the room. How would we feel? What would we think is going to unfold? Well, here comes the surprise. Gamaliel issues a warning to the VIPs in the church. Who would have expected this? Especially from a Pharisee. He said, he is Gamaliel. He said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. Gamaliel knew that they plotted to kill the apostles. And his warning to the VIPs in the church is, you'd better be careful. You'd better reconsider your plan. You'd better be very careful about what you intend to do to these 12 apostles. That's a shock. And then Gamaliel gives two examples from history that these guys should follow. Judas is one, and Judas of Galilee is the other. And these are the two examples. And remember, these guys had plotted to kill the apostles, and now they're being attacked by Gamaliel. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Look at the history books, he's telling these guys. You remember when this powerful Theudas rose up, and he has an insurrection, and he was followed by 400 people, but he was killed. And all those that obeyed him amounted to nothing. They just fled. That's number one. Number two, after this manner rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing. Remember, Luke wrote the book of Acts. And Luke also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And remember, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Well, that's where he's talking about here. This man rose up, Judas of Galilee, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. So, Gamaliel starts out by quoting a few things that happened in history. And this is kind of valuable to know. History often has a way of repeating itself. And we should learn from history. If we don't, we can end up making the same mistakes that others have made. There's nothing new under the sun. So what these people should have done is taken a few lessons from history besides what Gamaliel threw out at them. And some questions that they should have asked are the same questions that you and I should ask as we study the history which the Holy Spirit gives us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the thing is, number one, question, when did it ever happen that someone came to Jesus and he refused to help them? If they came with the right reason, not to tempt him, but an honest request. When did it ever happen that he turned somebody away? He that cometh to me, I will in no ways cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's a nice part of history. Question number two. When was Jesus ever unable to help anyone? And this would be anybody that came with diseases or sicknesses, or even if they were inhabited by demons. When did anyone ever come to Jesus and he had to say, I can't help you, I'm sorry? When did that ever happen? The answer is it never did. Another question. Who was ever able to justly accuse Jesus of any sin? And there were people that knew a lot about what Jesus was doing. They were following him, trying to catch him any way they could. And they had that great big assembly one time. They were attacking Jesus. And he issued a challenge to them. He said, which one of you can convict me of a sin? And there was silence. There was silence. And silence sometimes speaks louder than words. Nobody could come up with anything. Another question. Who was ever able to give sight to a man that had been born blind? Who was ever able to do that? Well, Jesus did. He did. And another question, who was ever able to raise a man from the dead who had been buried for 4 days? Jesus did. And yeah, we crucified him. And he was dead, and he was buried. But now these guys are preaching that Jesus rose from the dead. And they're willing to die for that. These people should have realized this. And so now Gamaliel continues. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. Whoever would have thought that a Pharisee would say this? But he did. And you see the power of the Holy Spirit at work here. Now I say unto you, and this is not a suggestion, this is a command from Gamaliel. Refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be not of men, or if it is of just men, it's going to come to naught. If God isn't in back of this, if this is just a human thing, you don't have anything to worry about. Remember Thutis. Remember Judas of Galilee. It's going to fizzle out. If it's only of men, it's going to fizzle out. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. This is one of the most surprising speeches in all history. And so this is great advice. And seemingly, at this point, the enemy took it. But they had one final shot. And so now the apostles are being called back. And what is the chief priest and the rest of the enemy, what are they going to say? Are they going to say, well, you know, Gamaliel gave us some really good advice, and we're going to let you guys go, and you go and do your thing, and you can go to the temple, and you can preach Jesus and do anything you want. We're not going to bother you. Well, that's basically what Gamaliel said, but that's not what they would tell the apostles. Not by a long shot. Remember, the apostles didn't hear this thing that Gamaliel said. So to him they agreed. They agreed to, okay, we'll do what Gamaliel said. They agreed to him. And when they called the apostles, and the word "and," as we've mentioned many, many times, the word "and" is a connecting word, and it can be translated that way, but it could also be a word of division, contrasting. It could be translated "but." So let's translate it that way just for this. So to him they agreed, but when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. Well, it didn't work. And they departed. The apostles, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So this attack was turned back by a Pharisee named Gamaliel, under the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to end the sermon by emphasizing a very important truth that's easy to forget. And the truth is that we are fighting a defeated enemy. Remember, notice that the 12 apostles were not in the mix when Gamaliel addressed the enemy. So what were they thinking? What did they think was going to happen? What did they think Gamaliel was going to say to these enemies of theirs? And, you know, sometimes, a few times in Scripture, the Holy Spirit takes us into the enemy camp. And he allows us to hear and to see what is going on. And so you and I know exactly what the apostles did not know. We know what Gamaliel was saying. And this is important. Now I say to you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work is of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And that's exactly what happened. They were fighting against God. So the apostles didn't know what Gamaliel was saying, but the Holy Spirit has let us know, and he lets us know what the wicked ones are saying. I'm going to give you two examples of this. The point is being, yes, the devil's very powerful. No question about that. He has many followers. There's no question about that either. And they're very wicked people and spirits. There's no question about that either. But the fact of the matter is, we are fighting against a defeated enemy. Example number one of many, Matthew 8, beginning of verse 28. When he, Jesus, was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs. They were living in a cemetery, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. If you had a loved one that was buried in that cemetery, you couldn't go visit the gravesite, because these guys were living in the cemetery. They were fierce. They'd kill you. That's the kind of guys they were. They were infected with demons. Okay, so, and behold, they cried out. So now Jesus was in the boat with his disciples. They landed near the cemetery, and Jesus comes walking up to the cemetery. And now the demons confront him. Listen to their words. Behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" This is amazingly comforting. Here you had demons that were in control of these two men, and they had never seen Jesus before, and they had never heard any of his sermons, and they had never seen any of his miracles, but they know who he is. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? So these two guys that are infected with demons at least knew more about Jesus than the scribes and Pharisees and elders and Sadducees did. They didn't believe he was the Son of God for a minute. These guys know he is. The demons know who he is. Remember that. And then this, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? This is precious beyond words. We're fighting a defeated enemy. The demons that were in control of these two guys, they know that Jesus is going to torment them. It's only a matter of time. And so they ask him, are you come here to torment us before the time? That's precious. And there was a good way off. And there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. We learn from another gospel, there were 2,000 of them. So the devils besought him. They're begging Jesus. They're asking a favor from him. Because they can't do anything on their own. They got to have his permission. So they besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, well, they know he's going to do it. The meaning really was when you do it. But they put it this way, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. Okay, we know you're going to cast us out, but will you give us permission to go into these herd of swine, the 2,000 swine? And he said unto them, go. But they had to ask him. They couldn't do it on their own. They're under his complete control, and they know it. And then when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them, the keepers of the swine, fled and went their ways back into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him. This is a surprise. When they came out, they saw that the two guys that had been so fierce and kept them from visiting the gravesite of their relatives, these guys were sitting there fully clothed and in their right mind. They saw that. And how thankful they should have been. But when they saw that, they besought him, Jesus, that he would depart out of their coasts. They gave him a one-way ticket out of town. Why do you think they would do that? Well, a lot of these people probably owned the 2,000 swine that perished in the lake. They lost a lot of money. It cost them big bucks. Yeah, this guy's soul was saved, the two guys. They were healed. But it cost us. And we don't want to pay that kind of price again. So they gave Jesus a one-way ticket out of town, and he took it and never came back. But the point is, these guys, these two men that were possessed with the demons knew, even though they'd never seen Jesus before, they knew who he was, they knew he was the Son of God, and they knew he's going to torment them. It's just the timing had not come yet. Art thou come to torment us before the time? Remember that. It's right from the mouth of the enemy. They're defeated and they know it. So when you go to Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to start with verse 7. In the middle of a war here. And there was war in heaven. This is something I'm not sure we knew of before. At least this example here. There was a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. That's the devil. The serpent. And the dragon fought with his angels, but prevailed not. The angels of God won. angels of the devil lost. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. These were wicked spirits that were in heaven yet, and they were kicked out. And the great dragon, that's the devil, Lucifer, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the Son of God right now is, humanly speaking, sitting at the right hand of his heavenly Father. And there are no wicked angels in paradise. It's complete peace. But they're down here on this earth where the bride of Jesus is still living. And don't forget this, the Holy Spirit's with us. That's the big difference. And I heard a loud voice, and in Revelation 12 again, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. How did we overcome him? How did we do that? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Because that blood is so precious that it covers our sins. That's why he died on the cross. That was the greatest victory that had ever been won, but hardly anybody knew it. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They were willing to die for this. Any child of God is willing to die for this. And for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Don't kid yourself. We're in the middle of a war. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you having great wrath. Now the Holy Spirit inspired these words, and he didn't end here, because he doesn't want us to be scared to death. He added a few words after this. So let's read the whole verse now. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and he that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you having great wrath, comma, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The devil, chief honcho of the wickedness, knows that he's a loser. And he knows that he's going to be thrown down into the fiery pit of hell. And he knows that he doesn't have much time left. He knoweth that he hath but a short time. So, as we look at the situation in our country, a situation in the world, and we see through television things that are happening and what Satan and his wicked ones are doing and how bad it is becoming, worse than what we ever dreamed, those of us who are older, were what we never dreamed could happen in the good old USA when we were little. We see all this happening, and we're not afraid. We see that the devil is throwing everything he's got because he knows that he's only got a short time left. And there is a set time, and it's very, very close now. It could very well happen during our lifetime. It could very well happen before our church service ends today. Jesus said, surely I come quickly. And then the victory is going to be ours. We're going to approach the marriage altar, and the great wedding between Jesus Christ and his bride will take place. And the wicked ones will be down in the fiery pit, and there's a great gulf fixed, and they can't cross it.